I'm delighted now to welcome back to the show Jan Willem Janssens. He is the executive director of Earthworks Institute. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Charlotte. Thank you.
So this coming weekend, this Sunday, you and others are putting together an event called Hidden Treasures of the Galisteo Basin, starting at 8:30 in the morning. What's it all about?
Well, this is basically a big celebration of multiple years of work of a group of people. First to name is, of course, Commonweal Conservancy, who is managing and developing a wonderful preserve area there in the Galisteo Basin Preserve.
And it's such an interesting project because it's both housing and wild land in that, one big development.
That's right. And actually, at this moment, the focus is really on the wild lands. So the market, as you know, for development is a little down.
And, right.
If you have Ted Harrison in the future, then he can tell you more about all those details. But
yeah.
The focus for Commonweal right now is on connecting people to this beautiful landscape. And I think for them in the future, that will definitely expand beyond the 12,000, 13,000 acres of the Galisteo Basin Preserve, like it does for us at Earthworks Institute and our partners at the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, who are also with us in this endeavor.
So what will you be doing on Sunday?
Well, on Sunday, we're going to first celebrate and look at the wetlands that we've been preserving there for 3-4 years now.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have wetlands in New Mexico.
Absolutely. We have lost maybe 80 or 90% of them, but in the Galisteo Basin, we have maybe 500 to 1,000 acres left, all in small pieces of maybe a tenth of an acre to several acres at a time. And several of those are at the Galisteo Basin Preserve, and they serve for purposes of wildlife habitat, as a sponge to absorb stormwater, and just to enjoy, to really remember also that they supported a lot of people living there. And that is actually the second piece of our day celebration there on Sunday, where we're going to look at the history of people and how people lived and used that landscape.
How did people live and use that landscape?
Well,
when it had more wetlands?
It is still, I think, part of a mystery. But the earlier people who lived there, I think the earliest traces of people are dating at least 1,000, if not 2,000 years back. Well, I think even more than that. I wouldn't even speak for the archaeologists who know much more.
Right, right.
But the most visible pieces of life there started around 1200. And so there are several traces of those peoples at the Galisteo Basin Preserve, especially around the Galisteo Springs area. And then another layer of occupation of about 50 in the 1500s and 1600s when the Spanish explorers came through the landscape. They settled and had camps there in the center of the Galisteo Basin Preserve. And archaeologists that worked on sites that we did erosion control work on found actually arrowheads from around 1600 there. And so that was really interesting. And the entire area that where these springs were, we discovered was most likely a campsite for people who traveled north and south between Santa Fe and Spanish settlements that were more to the south of Santa Fe. And actually, they came up from the south and started to explore in the area of the Galisteo Basin and all the way up to Santa Fe and Pecos between 1540 and 1580, 1600.
So when you do this walk and this whole event on Sunday, will you actually be pointing out kind of archaeological features, like where people were?
Several, yes. Actually, we're starting actually the morning with a presentation by Kurt Kempter, who is a geologist. And the Galisteo Basin Preserve is also a wonderful example of how the geological history of that land is visible today because of the multiple erosion levels that have exposed walls of thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years of sedimentary depositions on top of each other.
So you can see layers, which are basically a kind of textbook geology lesson.
That's right. And so, and as a result of that, because of the different layers that hold water, we have the opportunity of springs in the Galisteo Basin Preserve and in the Galisteo Basin in general. And these springs, again, provided wetlands and even permanent flows of water through that landscape for thousands of years. And that is what made the occupation possible that we've seen in the last 700-800 years, and that was at such a height and activity between about 1250 and say 1750 or so. Yeah,
it's I think important to put yourself in different time scales, in the time scales of centuries and the time scales of millennia.
That's
as you
right.
get to do on that walk, because we normally kind of stay in our heads where the 80s were a long time ago.
Yes. Yeah, no, people will be challenged a little bit to stretch their imaginations from the scale of geological timescales to historical and prehistorical timescales. And so what the geology and the hydrogeology, so the water-related geology, means for people's opportunities to live in this landscape and what they have done and how that has, again, led to certain signs in the landscape, maybe erosion signs, that we can now read and then tell a story about how people lived there. And in turn, we therefore hope to convey the message how beautiful and wonderful this landscape still is, and how careful we actually have to be with it for future generations, but also for wildlife that still lives around these places, because 70 to 80% of the wildlife species in our landscape depend on these wet places.
It's very important also to remember that there are just so many more of us people than there were even 100 years ago, much less in the 1500s, 1600s, and so on, and that the pressure that we put on wildlife and put on our own resources is just vast. We forget that.
That's right. And so it is so easy to just think, oh, this is a desert, and hey, there's nothing important there. Let's just build, or even if we cannot build because of, for whatever economic reasons, have cattle or a mine or whatever do there to extract the resources. And with that, often we forget how important a story there is hidden in the landscape about what is possible, what is not possible for the longevity of other species and ourselves. I often call the Galisteo Basin a land of paradox and promise, that a lot of people see a lot of promise there, and then later, after one or two generations, we realize, like, oops, this landscape is a lot harsher in terms of the opportunities that it offers. And so you need to actually have a much larger landscape to derive your resources from, like the Native Americans did, who could travel around and benefit from four ecoregions within maybe 50 miles. But now, if you live there and your economy, like our day-to-day economy, is no longer based on roaming around and having alternative resources, then we really easily start to mine our water and our and whatever is there.
We're talking to Jan Willem Janssens. Now, on Sunday, Hidden Treasures of the Galisteo Basin, there will also be a chance for people to plant some trees.
That's right. So we still have a need to plant more vegetation, especially now that we have restored the Arroyo Los Angeles there and captured some water. Even in dry periods like now, you can still find some pockets of water several feet deep that seeps out of the walls, and that can support some plants. So if people are interested, and I must say the archaeology tour in the afternoon is already fully booked, and we're maintaining a waiting list. But for those who are interested in staying around the cowboy shack and the area where we have done some wetland restoration, they can, under the guide of John Busmeyer, our restoration ecologist, plant some trees and maybe learn more about the restoration work we've done there.
And the restoration work, I mean, Jan Willem, you've been at this for so long that restoration work that you did, say, 10 years ago is really bearing fruit.
That's right. So we started with small community meetings, and now that we've basically adopted, you could say, entire landscape of communities, the techniques that we pioneered 10-15 years ago are now being used and applied on the ground, not so much to restore even that piece of land, but to mobilize people and their awareness about that landscape, and then connect them all together with other open space pieces, conservation easement areas, county open space areas, to create this long corridor or protected landscape that connects the Sangre de Cristos with, say, the Sandia Mountains for larger landscape connectivity.
And that connectivity has to do, among other things, with migrating wildlife.
Absolutely. Like, there is a lot of migration of bear, cougar, deer, and other species, so the bigger game species, migrate within their lifetime. Other species migrate over generations. And that, especially now in times of climate change or fragmentation as a result of infrastructure, roads, homes, etc., it's important for these species to have maybe within generations an opportunity to move to different landscapes if the ecology is disrupted somewhere else, so that they can actually, as a species, survive and have enough genetic variability to mate with other species, that they stay...
Other individuals, yeah.
Other individuals, you're right. So that they stay really healthy as a species.
And it's important for us to remember that we share the Earth with them. Jan Willem Janssens is the executive director of Earthworks Institute. And once again, Hidden Treasures of the Galisteo Basin begins this, well, it's this Sunday, the 22nd of May, starting at 8:30 in the morning. For more information, people can write to earthworksinstitute.org. They can also call 505-982-9806. Anything else before we go?
Yeah, people should register tomorrow. No, that is today, Wednesday, before 5 o'clock.
Today's the deadline?
Yeah, today's the deadline.
Okay.
At 5 o'clock today, so that we can at least order your lunch, or so we know how many people are coming, because we expect many people this coming Sunday, and we'd like to know how many are coming in terms of parking, etc. Please go to our website and go to our events registration calendar, and then you can sign up if you want to come on Sunday.
Jan Willem, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.